Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are here on Empowered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral high on top the Tower of Hope with two of my favorite people. My number one fave is Marianne Greco, my wife of 44 years. Welcome back to the show, Marianne.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
And Katie Hughes, who is an evangelist, really a critical part of Spirit-Filled Hearts, one of our founders with Marianne and I. And Katie, it's always a blessing to have you on the show. Welcome back.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. And my brothers and sisters, we have an incredibly important topic to talk to you about today, and that is forgiveness. And we're going to focus on the power of forgiveness. We're going to focus on why it's a critical weapon, why it's critical for our spirituality, and it's so, so important to understand that in order to live a Christian life, to emulate Jesus, we must learn how to forgive.
You know, it's really something that I'm continually working on, and it's something that forgiveness in my life has to happen just daily, just to keep working on it, and God just keeps bringing more opportunities for forgiveness as I live each day. So it's something that's really a good topic for all of us to know more about.
To our listening audience, I know I'm talking to you right now that forgiveness is a challenge. You've often heard the term, perhaps, to err is human, to forgive is divine. And we need that grace, Katie, the grace from God, because forgiveness flows to us before it flows out of us. But we're commanded to forgive. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And why is that so important?
Well, we are called to be the embodiment of Christ on this earth, to bring peace to this world and to all those we interact with. And that the primary requirement is to forgive. That is one of the greatest gifts Jesus gave to us. He was given to us to save us from our sins, to reconcile us with his Father, and he's been given us this gift and a sacrament.
And as we think about this gift, it really comes from the cross. We know on the cross, Jesus said, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And forgiveness is really that secret power of the cross, because the cross, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, really unlocked the power to forgive.
You know, in your phrase, to err is human and to forgive is divine, I've always heard that, but I think it becomes really stronger to me when you realize that it's really through the Lord that we can forgive. We can't do it on our own. So when we forgive, we become more connected with God and God-like. We have take on his attributes of being able to forgive, but we need the Lord to do it. We cannot do it on our own.
We're going to be talking about why forgiveness may be hindered or blocked, and then seven steps in terms of what we need to do in order to let forgiveness flow into our hearts. But the overall thing, Katie, is that when we refuse to forgive because we think that, you know, we're right, the other person's wrong, we have been injured, we have been wronged and so forth in some way, it's like drinking poison and thinking that's going to hurt somebody else. All it does is really hurt our relationship with God.
It does, where it's a condemning factor, actually, in the sense that when we condemn others and we don't forgive them and love them, to that extent of forgiveness is what we receive from God. He's very much at the level that you're at. He gives back when it comes to these deciding factors. And we have to realize that we are called to be perfect. We are called to be holy. We are called to be his ambassadors. And without the forgiveness of our hurts and wounds, we can't be close to him.
And we know that Jesus said that as we show mercy, as we forgive, is the same measure that we'll get in return. As we judge, so will we be judged in the same way. Now, what are some reasons why forgiveness may be, again, hindered or blocked? First, Marianne, sometimes we don't want to forgive. We don't want to let go.
No, we somehow don't realize it, but we hold on to that hurt. Well, the person hasn't forgiven. I'm not going to forgive them. They haven't asked for forgiveness, or they don't deserve it. Or you just kind of stay in that same place. But when you do that, your hurt is like a wound. It just festers and gets worse, and you become infected with it. It affects your whole life. So we have to realize it's hurting us.
When we refuse to forgive, my brothers and sisters, we're basically saying that we know more than God, that we are God, because God has forgiven us. And that includes forgiving ourselves, right?
And God's maybe forgiven that person, too. And who are we to hold on to it?
Amen. Another key point, too, on why forgiveness doesn't happen is we simply lack the faith to forgive. We believe that we don't have the power to forgive. We believe that, as it relates to ourselves, that we've done the unbelievable, unpardonable sin. But it's so important to understand Matthew 19:26, that with God all things are possible. And when we turn it over to God, even though we don't humanly have the ability to forgive, God does through us, Katie. And that's where being connected to God in prayer and asking for his help and his love and his forgiveness really is critical.
I think one great practice for one striving to forgive throughout their life is in daily situations is when at the time of being the offense is occurring, we are asked to forgive at that moment. Now, forgiveness isn't reconciliation with a person. It's not forgetting. It's not that it still hurts. But what it does is it's a grace that you can ask God for to forgive them. And sometimes it takes a repetitive offering and lifting up to the Lord to help you forgive that person. But it's really critical when someone is offending you to forgive them. And the other thing is at the end of your day, go through your day, have a reflection on your day. And St. Ignatius spirituality, that's one of the things that you are to do is reflect on your day. Lord, when did I forgive? Just realize that these people are embodiment of Christ too. And when you're forgiving them, you're loving Jesus.
We often sometimes fail to take responsibility. And we know that Peter asked the Lord, and this is in Matthew 18, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times. And Jesus said, I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. And it's so important to understand the fact, my brothers and sisters, that what that means is that we need to forgive always, because that was really code for basically saying that, you know, there's no time that we don't forgive. Marianne, your thoughts on that?
Well, it's true. And I think Katie's right. This, as soon as a hurt comes up, we can bring it up to the Lord and ask him to help us with that situation. And there's opportunities all through the day. Sometimes we don't even realize it, but we need to look at those times when we are hurt and just say, Lord, help me forgive this person. And one of the tools I use during the day is if someone, I start to think about the hurt or the wound or someone has said something or done something, then I start to pray for that person or ask God to help me forgive that person. The minute it comes up as a negative or a hurt, to take immediately to God.
And that is so, so important. Continued unforgiveness really puts a bondage. It's really like being in chains, Katie, when we show lack of forgiveness. And Spirit-Filled Hearts, our ministry here that the three of us are intimately involved in, is a healing evangelization ministry. And we go all over like we did last night at St. Gabriel Mission and praying over people. But sometimes you feel this lack of forgiveness as you're praying, if you receive these words of knowledge that people have, and they feel like they're in the right. There's no reason that they have to forgive. But what happens is that, my brothers and sisters, when you fail to forgive, then the healing that God wants to give you is like blocked. And it's like, I feel like sometimes it's like praying over a brick wall. Your thoughts on that, Katie?
It's, as you said, it's a great barrier. God wants a pure vessel to work through. Whether we ourselves, as the people praying over people, we need to be purified. Our soul needs to be crystal clear. And yes, people have so many wounds, so many betrayals in their life that come to us. And they're there because they are hurt, because they maybe want to forgive, or some are so entrenched in their bitterness that it's so deep down, it's so hard to get out of it. Though it may feel like a brick wall, we do have to believe there's some healing, because when we pray for healing, it happens.
We're going to be right back to learn more about some barriers to forgiveness and how we can turn our lives to Christ and receive the love that he has for us. We're on Powered by the Spirit here on High Atop Tower of Hope. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Deacon Steve Greco from Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, and we are so excited to be partnering with Immaculate Heart. And I'm also very pleased to have published my first book, 365 Days of Praise. It's a daily devotional to help you with a daily scripture reading, a reflection, and also a thought-provoking question to help stimulate your spiritual growth.
Available online at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or find out more at SpiritFilledHearts.org.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Marianne Greco and Katie Hughes. High atop the Tower of Hope here at beautiful Christ Cathedral. We're talking about the power of forgiveness and some of the challenges of forgiveness. And we've been mentioning a number of different things. I mean, we think we're in the right. We think we don't have to forgive. We don't want to forgive. We refuse to forgive. We don't have the faith to forgive. There's all kinds of things. But one of the most important things, too, that my brothers and sisters, this is absolutely critical for so many people in an area that, quite frankly, I've struggled with over the years, and that is we cannot forgive ourselves. And if we cannot forgive ourselves, Marianne, it's like saying that we're God, because when we have repented, when we have gone to reconciliation, when we've asked God for forgiveness, he has wiped us clean. He doesn't remember it anymore. But if the devil wants us to hold on to it,
right.
So that sin that we committed 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it might be, that, oh, I'll never forgive myself because I did this and fill in the blank, that's not of the Lord.
I don't even think sometimes we recognize that we're not forgiving ourselves, but we harbor this feeling about ourselves that we're not as loved or God can't love us. And it's not true. We're just holding on to these feelings, and we're saying, oh, I know better. I can't be forgiven when God's already forgiven us. It's such a shame that we do that, but it's hard. It's difficult.
You know, Katie, as we pray over people, again, all over the world, actually, and certainly all over the country, we get these words of knowledge, which is in 1 Corinthians 12, and we get sometimes these feelings and the words that God wants to just pour out the love so much that he always does, but he wants to make sure that people's hearts are open. So I'll sometimes whisper in their ears, God has forgiven you. Forgive yourself. And many times people start crying because that is what the big issue is. And we see that all the time.
I think I really reflect on when we think about self-forgiveness and realizing God does forgive us is the whole point of trusting God and believing in him, that he has the power to forgive us and that he loves us. And I look at Adam and Eve, how they hid in shame. And God doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to live in shame. He wants you to come out. He wants you to repent. And he wants to reconcile with you. And he wants to love you. And that's why he gave us Jesus. One of the greatest purposes, how to live our life, how to forgive, how to love, and how to love ourselves and know that we are in his image and that we are not perfect and we fail. But he's time and time and time again there to receive our repentance and there to love us and receive us.
My brothers and sisters, take a look at the Gospel of John, John 15:16. It is not you who called me, but I who called you and anointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will remain so that whatever you ask of my Father, he may give you. How do you bear fruit? You can summarize that entire verse by saying, it is I who have called you to forgive because I have forgiven you. It is I who have called you to make a difference by saying yes to my forgiveness so that I may heal you. Marianne, psychologists tell us that every day we have 2,000 choices to make. And today, our listening audience can make a choice to forgive those that have hurt them, to forgive parents, to forgive siblings, to forgive bosses, to forgive people that have bruised them, that where people have done things that haven't met with their expectations. Today, they can have that decision to make to forgive.
Absolutely, and it is a choice. We have to consciously realize that we have to make that decision. It doesn't just happen, but we have to make that choice that I'm going to forgive. And there's many times when I've said, you know, I'm going to forgive this person. Lord, I don't know how I can do that, but with your grace and with your love, I ask you to help me with that. And so it's turning, you know, to the Lord and saying, help me with this. I've decided to forgive is the first step. We have to make that decision and turn to God.
There are 7 steps of forgiveness that we're going to focus on today. So get out your pencil and paper or record this in some way, shape, or form. It will be on podcast on OC Catholic Radio. This is very important that we understand. First step of forgiveness is understand that you are forgiven as a child of God. Romans 8:14-17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you receive a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father. When we understand that we are a child of God, we understand that God loves us unconditionally. As it says in Romans 8, Katie, that nothing will separate us from the love of God. And Romans 8:1, that again, there's no condemnation, but understanding the fact that as children of God, that we are heirs to the throne and that we can rejoice that we're not in a position where we need to feel shame. Your thoughts?
I think we have to realize if you believe that Jesus is your Lord, is your Savior, and forgives you, if you truly believe it, live it. And, you know, deal with that. Sometimes, I think a lot of times, unforgiveness of yourself is pride. Same with not forgiving others. But if you don't die to yourself and realize, hey, Lord, I'm nothing without you, and I am full of faults. But Lord, with your divine mercy, you can raise me up. You can raise me up to be what you want me to be and to use me. And I trust in you, Lord. And your life is set, you're set free when you realize you are a child of God, you belong to him, and no matter what, he loves you.
Marianne, we have 3 children, and our listening audience, obviously many have children out there, grandchildren and so forth. We think about how much we love our children. And is there really anything that we would do not to forgive them, you know, especially if they ask for forgiveness? But regardless of that, we are poised and ready to forgive them. And we take a look at Luke 11:13. We who know how to give good gifts to our children, we who know how to forgive our children, how much more will the Father give us the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it? And another way of saying that would be, how much more will the Father in heaven really pour out his love and forgiveness when we just open it up? And so we need not worry about that because we are his children and he's ready to forgive us at all times.
And I think the issue is we really need to understand how much God loves us. He loves us even when we're in the midst of our sin. it hurts him to see us that way, but he loves us. There's, you know, his love is there the whole time. So it's like, as a parent, we love our children. We're in pain when we see them do things that are hurtful, but we will still love them, and they can turn to us and know that. And we need to know that we can turn to the Father we've sinned, that he still loves us. And that it's that love that, you know, we need to accept so we can forgive.
We have talked earlier in the show about condemning ourselves and lack of forgiveness of ourselves. But the second key step in forgiveness is understanding that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1, that God doesn't make junk. And Katie, again, we need to understand how God sees us. God sees us as these beautiful lights. We are made in his image. We are made to be with him forever in heaven. We're not made to be junk. It doesn't matter what we've done. It is his blood that wipes us clean. It is his death and resurrection that makes us whole.
So funny you mentioned God doesn't make junk. I was thinking about that and how I've heard you say that so many times. And when you are in sin and have a stained soul and you feel awful about it, call upon that. You are not junk. You've done something wrong. He does not love the sin. He loves the sinner. And I don't know if any of you have seen, I'm sure a lot of you have, The Passion of the Christ. And there's the scene where he's at the pillar and they get out all these different torturous tools and they just want to mutilate Jesus. And try and watch it, you know, whenever you can, because at this time where I just remember vividly, one of the tools wraps around with many different chains on it with grabbers and grabs onto the flesh of his body is already tortured so much. And when they pulled it away, ripped off his skin, he's just bleeding everywhere. His fingers are so stressed, and you could see the pain he's feeling. And at that point, he's saying, I forgive you.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
The love. That's the love he has for that person. How beautiful you are, despite your miserable ways. He loves you.
You know, it strikes me. He looks at us for all the potential for who he created us to be. He's not looking at, oh, look at you've done X, Y, and Z, but he's looking at us through eyes of love, and he's looking at us for who we are and who he created us to be, all of our potential. It's like a parent when we get a little baby in our arms. We don't look at them and say, oh, you're going to do this, this, and this. But we look at, oh, look at all the wonderful things and the potential you have in your life. That's how much God loves us, and even more.
Don't give up, my brothers and sisters. You are under construction like the rest of us, and the best is yet to come. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about the 7 steps of forgiveness.
Now is your chance to support Catholic education and the future of our Catholic faith. Subscribe to the OC Catholic newspaper today, and we'll make a financial contribution to the Catholic school of your choice. Simply visit OCCatholic.com/subscribe and select the school within the Diocese of Orange that you'd like to support, and we'll make a gift in your name. You also get the award-winning OC Catholic newspaper at your door with the OC Register newspaper every Sunday for 1 year. This is win-win all around. Go to OCCatholic.com/subscribe.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit with Katie Hughes and Marianne Greco, my wife, Marianne, of 44, almost 45 years,
almost.
Honey. We're pushing it.
Yep.
Pretty amazing. And we've been talking about the power of forgiveness. We've been talking about all the obstacles of forgiveness, and there are many, and we certainly know many of them, lack of forgiveness of self, not wanting to forgive, and so forth. And we're going through 7 steps to help us in the forgiveness process. First step is understanding who we are as children of God. Understanding the fact that God loves us so passionately that he loves us and he's created us in his image. The second is the fact that God doesn't condemn us. We cannot condemn ourselves. And that lack of forgiveness for ourselves really hurts us and often projects out to lack of forgiveness for other people. Now, the third point that we're on right now in these steps of holiness is to understand that we have been made and created to be holy. Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessings in the heavens, and he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy, without blemish, before him. We are holy because of what Christ did in his death and resurrection. 1 Peter 1:16, be holy because I am holy. So important to understand the fact that when we realize that holiness means the fact that we acknowledge what God has done for us, all of a sudden we feel differently. We as sinners know that God has created us into this well-made, essentially is what holy means, into this perfect human being, perfect in the sense that God has created us to be in his image and created us to be forgiven. And when we are forgiven, then again, we are living the will of the Father. So holiness, Marianne, is absolutely critical in the process of forgiveness to understand the fact that when we forgive, we are being holy and acting as God wants us to act.
And when we don't forgive, we're just holding on to anger and bitterness and all that stuff. And when we're so busy holding on to that, we can't receive God's love and forgiveness. And so we get bound by those other things that we're holding on to. And God's just there wanting to love us and forgive us and have us forgive others. Because when we don't forgive others, we're hanging on to all that junk that we can't see holiness if we're too busy hanging on to our anger.
My brothers and sisters, we're here on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral with Marianne Greco, my bride, Katie Hughes, Catholic evangelist, part of our Spiritful Hearts ministry. And we're talking about forgiveness and the need for holiness. You know, Katie, you had brought up earlier in the show the Ignatian spirituality of self-examination of conscience. And it's really important that as we examine our conscience, God is constantly calling us to get closer to him, get closer to him. And often we're not aware of our lack of forgiveness of ourselves, of other people, and so forth. And that's where reconciliation and breaking that sin, and also breaking generational sin. Because sometimes generations will go on where families aren't forgiven or peoples aren't forgiven. Maybe races aren't forgiven, you know, and there's this prejudice and so forth that needs to be broken. But the examination of conscience, reconciliation, those are critical parts of as we strive to be holy.
Yes, and in that process of going through those exercises, you actually have a confession of your life. And St. Ignatius did that. He confessed his life. I think it took him about 4 days. He had a very sinful past. And so don't be afraid when you have that experience when you do the spiritual exercises. Because what you're doing is you're getting rid of all the junk. You're getting rid of all the stains. And when you come out of that, you have, St. Teresa Avila calls it, our soul is like a crystal and has many facets. And when we are purified through reconciliation, especially a confession of your life, you can shine the light of Christ. You can forgive. You can see the truth and the beauty in forgiveness and loving God's people because you are purified.
As we take a look at, again, the 7 steps of forgiveness, the first step, again, is understanding we're children of God. The second step is understanding that we are forgiven and need not condemn ourselves. The third step is understanding the degree of holiness that God is calling us to. And in that holiness, we must forgive in order to get closer to God. And the fourth step here is that God is the God of restoration. We see this in Isaiah 43. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through waters, I will be with you. Through rivers, you shall not be swept away. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. nor will flames consume you. For I am the Lord, am your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Fear not, for I am with you. For the east, from the east, I will bring back your offspring. Remember not the things of the past, the things of long ago, consider not. See, I am doing something new, nor its springs force, do you not perceive it? In the wilderness I make a way, in the wastelands rivers. The people whom I form for myself to announce my praise. You know, the fact of the matter is that it is never too late to restore relationships. You know, we often say, well, I'll never ever talk to my brother again. I'll never talk to my sister again. I'll never talk to that person again. They've already passed the point of no return. But that's not what God wants. God wants, Marianne, for us to restore relationships. People he's put in our life that are close to us, especially family members, brothers, sisters, cousins, parents. How many people don't talk to their father because of something that's happened when they were early in their life? But God wants to restore it. That's such a critical part of the forgiveness process.
Well, I think forgiveness is the first step in the restoration. You know, whether we think that we were right or wrong doesn't really matter. The restoration comes when we ask for forgiveness and give forgiveness. And, you know, the restoration of relationship happens with the Lord as well as with the person if they receive your forgiveness. You know, all we can do is go to the person and ask forgiveness and put it out there and pray a lot. And it does take two people to restore a relationship. But the good news is we can always restore a relationship with the Lord.
Well, and the other thing, it does take two people. But when you pray, miracles happen, Katie. I mean, when you pray,
yes. Yeah.
Right? I mean, the reality is that through that prayer, through that belief, through your love, you know, amazing things happen in which people just, that veil is removed, Katie, in terms of, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:16, that we all have veils in our eyes, and when we turn to Christ, that veil is removed. That prayer can remove that veil in which a relationship could be restored.
Sure. The Lord can work so many miracles through us when we say yes to Him. And sometimes it, you know, when you pray for people in your life for that conversion and you pray for relationships or whatever it is, pray that that spiritual veil is lifted so they can see Christ. And also pray that you can be Christ to them so they will see Christ with the way that you are with them, how you're loving and forgiving them, and God can work miracles.
The fifth point on the seven steps of forgiveness is winning the battlefield of the mind. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, for the weapons of our battle are not of flesh, but are enormously powerful, capable of destroying fortresses. We destroy arguments and every pretension raising itself against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. We win the battle when we realize that we're in a battle, Marianne. We're in spiritual warfare. And guess who doesn't want us to forgive? The enemy, Satan. He doesn't want us to forgive.
No.
He wants us to hold on to those grudges, hold on to the
right.
Hurt.
So we can't receive all the graces God has for us. But one of the things I think you realize is that, you know, we need to get, we make the first step of forgiving and asking God. But then, you know, as our forgiveness grows, and sometimes it's like layers that we have to unpeel and unfold, is that we should be able to get to the point with someone, if we forgive them, that not only are we just forgiving them, but we're praying for them and we're asking God's blessing upon them. We want the best thing for them. And you know, some people just stop with, well, I forgave them. But we're called to go further than that.
Yeah, and as we've talked about repeatedly, is Lord, help me to see them as you see them. That
yes.
Prayer, my brothers and sisters, is so critical. Help me to see them. Help me to love them as you love them. It makes such a big difference. Katie, one of the things that it's been true since the dawn of time, this spiritual warfare, this battle against evil that we're in, But it is about the mind, and in Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We need to think about the good things about people. If we start focusing on what's wrong about people, that's when we run into trouble.
Yes, most people are, 51% good and 49%, bad. And focus on that 51%. Most of all, they're a child of God, and God, they're not junk. So there is only good in them if you see it that way. And nobody's perfect, but focus on that. And hopefully they'll do the same in return to you. And maybe you will receive that mercy in times when you fail someone.
Amen, amen. We're here on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back for our final steps of forgiveness of other people, forgiveness of ourselves, and the power of forgiveness. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco here, high atop the Tower of Hope with Marianne Greco, my lovely bride of pushing 45 years. Oh, my goodness gracious. We were married at 10, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That still makes us old. That's amazing. Thing. And Katie Hughes, who is an amazing evangelist for Spirit-Filled Hearts and for the world. And Katie, again, this whole subject of forgiveness is so critical for us. We've been talking about these seven steps. We've been talking about being children of God, not condemning ourselves, being holy, because that's what God wants us to be, understanding that God wants to restore relationships, understanding the fact we're in spiritual warfare. All of that is really important. But the greatest and most important thing is understanding that God is love, and that for us to live out the life that God has called us to do, we must love passionately. And we see this in Matthew 22, 37, 39, that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. How does that relate to our subject of forgiveness here, Katie?
You know, we've been talking the whole time about how we are all children of God and how he sees us and how he perfectly made us. And to strive to perfection. No one is perfect, of course, but we were made perfectly. And so God is calling us to extend ourselves each moment to get to a different level of holiness and extending ourselves to loving his people. And that's our neighbors. And that's not just your family members who you have to interact with all the time, just your coworkers. But he wants you to love everyone, even if you've never met them. He wants you to love those people you're walking by who are asking for money, who can't provide. He's asking you to love and see the goodness in each person and love them.
And Marianne, loving people passionately, what we're called to do in 1 Peter 1:22, is to love intensely. And we also know from 1 Peter that when we love, a multitude of sins are forgiven. It's not easy to do. And how do we love people that hurt us so much, or people who just rub us the wrong way? And often it seems like someone just comes in our life and we just can't handle it. You know, they drive us crazy. Many times at work, it could be a boss, it could be a coworker, whatever it is. But that's often a test.
Yeah, I often think those are the very people God placed in our paths for a reason, you know, to teach us exactly how to love those people. And often I have stopped myself, if I start to be less than loving towards some situation, to realize that that's a person God's put in my life. And I start to pray for them and to realize that that person needs love and prayer. And so it just kind of helped me see them through your eyes, Lord, and to love them as you love them and to see all their potential. And so it is bringing it back and realizing, you know, that person's in my life and this is an opportunity, you know, to have that love of Christ for that person.
We can't grow spiritually, Katie, unless we learn how to love those who have hurt us, unless we learn how to forgive those that have hurt us. We're just blocked from growth at all, because God has loved us unconditionally, has forgiven us unconditionally. But when these people come in our lives, we must find a way to basically say, I surrender my own pride, and Lord, I humble myself before you. Help me to love them. Help me to see them. Help me to nourish them in the way that you want me to.
And praise God for that person being in your life, because God is calling you to greater holiness through that person. Maybe it's patience. Maybe it's learning self-control, because that might be an area the Lord wants you to work on. Maybe it's about being kind to those who hurt you, those who persecute you. And you can be a testimony of God's love by doing that, by loving them.
And it's so important to understand that sometimes the people who rub you the wrongest, or the most difficult people who rub you wrongly, are the people closest to you.
Absolutely.
It's your spouse, it's your children, whatever, mm-hmm. or close friends.
Yeah, it is. And those are the people that we have the biggest challenge with. But, you know, one of the things I want to make clear is that it's the people that hurt us or abuse us, or we're physically hurt or really emotionally severely, we're called to forgive them still, but we are not called to keep putting ourselves in harm's way. I think that's important for our listeners to know. God, you know, he can still give us the strength to forgive those people, but it doesn't mean, you know, we become a doormat, or it doesn't mean that we keep putting ourselves in harm's way. No, we're still called, we can love them from a distance and pray for them.
The final point that we'd like to make on these 7 points of forgiveness is pray to open our eyes as to who we need to forgive, to be a person of prayer. I guess I took pride would be one way of saying it. I repent of my sins here. It says confess your sins to one another. So here we go. So I'm confessing my sins to the listening audience. But I said, you know, I have a lot of problems in a lot of areas, a lot of challenges, but forgiveness isn't one of them.
And you are good at forgiving.
I took that to the Lord, and the Lord said, oh, you think that that's true, huh? Well, let me show you who you haven't forgiven. And about an hour and a half later, after about 150 people and counting, I said, that's enough. You know, the point is that we think we've forgiven, but not necessarily. And we need to get into prayer to understand that there are relationships, maybe people who have passed on before us, that we could write a letter and so forth, and as they say, kind of burn it up, but nevertheless get the feeling out, really, really forgive them for that hurt. There are people when you were a child, there are people all throughout our lives that have hurt us, and we just kind of block it and move on, but we need to forgive. And Katie, that's just so critical that we get in touch with that.
I think if we can't reach out beyond that, we're stunted in our growth. We're stunted in a relationship with God, and he can't work with us as well. And just know that, be appreciative of those who have forgiven you, because there's definitely, you may not even be aware of it, but there's people out there you've hurt, and let's pray that they forgive us, because you want that forgiveness. I'd also say, when you do have these hurts, these old wounds, people that you can't speak to in person anymore, take it to reconciliation. Not only does the priest act as Christ, he's there with him, and he's that embodiment of Christ to forgive you and wipe the slate clean, but he can also offer you suggestions and help and encouragement. They're there to help us. It doesn't have to be painful. It can be a freedom.
Amen.
You know, one of the things you mentioned, Steve, I think it's important to realize that often we block our hurts. We don't even acknowledge our hurts. And so one of the things that we have to do is embrace the hurt. In other words, accept that you were hurt, because you cannot forgive unless you acknowledge that you have been hurt. And that happens a lot of times with our wounds of our past, that we kind of block them, we try to forget them. But it's important to acknowledge them so we can forgive and move on.
This is Deacon Steve Greco on Powered by the Spirit with Marianne Greco and Katie Hughes, and we've been talking on this show about forgiveness, the power of forgiveness, the necessity of forgiveness. We need to understand that we are children of God, and as children of God, we are heirs to the throne. We are king's kids. We need to understand that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, that we need to understand how much we're loved by God and not to condemn ourselves because God hasn't condemned us. We need to see ourselves as holy because of what Jesus did, his death and resurrection, and our saying yes to that. We need to realize that with God, all things are possible. He has given us restoration. He has given us divine mercy. He's given us that divine mercy chaplet to help in restoration. We understand the critical nature that we're in a war, and one of the great tools of the devil, great in terms of if it works for the devil, and that is unforgiveness. We are in a battle, the battlefield of the mind, and when we don't forgive other people, we let the enemy win. We must understand the fact that God loves us passionately. And to love us passionately means we need to love others passionately in the same way. And finally, we need to pray for God to open our eyes that we understand who to forgive. There's a reason that you've listened to the show, and that reason is that God wants to restore you. And Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for teaching us how to forgive other people. Heal us, Lord God. Heal us of our hurts and wounds. Heal us of our unforgiveness that we may love others as you love us. We say this through the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe, in Jesus' name. And I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.